information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, April 27th. Coming up this hour, we are going to be talking live to Senator Tammy Baldwin as she helps push through Wisconsin's place as part of a major American commitment to step up research and manufacturing of high-tech components in the U.S. so we're not reliant on foreign suppliers. She will also talk about the work that she's doing to try to expand services to veteran service offices around the country. And we'll ask her about her Republican colleagues over in the House of Representatives who have voted to slash veteran services and all kinds of other services in a debt ceiling bill that they passed yesterday. And we'll talk to Senator Baldwin about the ongoing push at the federal level to protect women's reproductive health rights. But that work also continues at the state level. Well, at least in some states, including Minnesota, which is where we find OBGYN and unrelenting warrior, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who is in St. Paul as part of a bill signing for a major push forward for women's health care in Minnesota, which we hope can be contagious and come across the border here someday. Dr. Lyerly, good morning.
Good morning. It feels so good, Pat.
doesn't the smell of progress in the morning is a good thing. I can hear the birds singing up there. And you're not that far from the state capitol, and it's in that area that Governor Tim Walz will sign a bill called the Reproductive Freedom Defense Act. Yeah. So tell us more what that is.
This is not just a bill for Minnesota. This is actually a bill for us and for all of the states that surround Minnesota. It's a bill that creates a protective shield for patients and providers who come to Minnesota for healthcare and face criminal punitive charges when they go back to their home states. So that's why I'm here, because those are my circumstances. I live in a state with an 1849 criminal abortion ban. And if I were to perform an abortion, even if it was treating a woman with a threatened miscarriage or a number of other things that we commonly see when we're taking care of women, it could put me in jail. So Minnesota is trying to protect us. And really, this is landmark legislation. It's one of three bills that they're signing today. They're also signing a trans refuge bill and a conversion therapy ban bill, which is something we've talked about in the past on the show.
Yeah, and I did not know that those bills were, I knew they had passed. I didn't know they were ready for signing. So all of them get signed today. That is a huge step forward, because we mentioned the trans refuge bill yesterday as well, that as you have these states that are increasingly hostile to their own people for reasons rooted, in bigotry or racism or other circumstances, they need safe harbor. And after these bills are signed, they're going to find it in Minnesota, which is also going to play a role in economic development. As you know, you've talked about it from a young doctor perspective, but just a young family anywhere perspective looking to settle down. The climate seems a little better over on that side of the St. Croix right now.
I think it's so much better. When you create a safe place for trans people, it's not just trans people that you're creating a safe place for. It's all of the people in their lives, all of the people who love them, and all of the people who recognize that they are a vulnerable population, that they're the canary in the coal mine. And I don't know about you, Pat, but my kids, they are seeing what's happening in Wisconsin right now. They have friends who are trans, and they're like, I don't want to live in a state that is trying to punish the people that I care about. So this is symbolic, it's necessary, and I think it's a real investment in the future of Minnesota and the Upper Midwest.
And let's keep in mind that this is one point in time. Things could go in one of two directions. Obviously, we hope that in Wisconsin and more states, this sets the ball rolling for people to speak up and act out and get their rights back or fight for the recognition and respect that they deserve. I will note, however, that Minnesota's map looks a lot like Wisconsin's. You know, the cities are very heavily progressive, but there's a lot of red area in there. You practice in that area. Those are very nice people, you tell me, that you're meeting, but we also know how they vote. So what's happening in Minnesota is by no means guaranteed unless people stay involved and vocal.
You are 100% right. The conversations, the one-on-one conversations that I have with people, there's so much common ground. But it's the politics that divides us. And it's so necessary to keep having those conversations to not let us be divided from each other and just to make sure that we are focusing on the things that are important to us, communication, connection, family, just, you know, working towards a brighter tomorrow. No more of this fear and information or fear and disinformation.
And then finally, Hometown Health would normally be heard today. We have pushed it to this time tomorrow, 7:05 tomorrow morning. Beth Heller, Director of Strategic Partnerships for Wello. You're talking Farm to School.
We are. What an exciting program. Farm to School. They're teaching kids in the schools why farms are important. We're really removed from our food ecosystem. We learned that in COVID, right? When all the supply chains got broken. Farm to School brings local produce to the schools and teaches kids all about the food that they eat. It's a great program. It's nationwide, and Beth is going to tell us all about it.
Can't wait for that. Enjoy the day. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again this time tomorrow.
I can't wait. Thanks, Pat. Have a great time with Tammy.
All right. And yes, as she mentioned, Senator Tammy Baldwin is coming up next. We have a lot to talk about there, including the CHIPS Act and the role that it's going to play in helping create the next generation of jobs. We'll be back with her after a weather update. You're up north. Take a look at sports at 7:15 on this Thursday. Well, let's start with the Bucks. Painful as it might be, it was a collapse for the ages, really. Unfortunately, they came into the playoffs with the NBA's best record. They thought they had high hopes of getting, you know, their second title in three seasons. But for the second straight game, they blew a big fourth quarter lead. And last night were eliminated from the playoffs, losing to eighth seeded Miami, 128-126 in overtime. The Bucks are just the sixth number one seed to lose to a number eight in the opening round of the playoffs. For the Brewers, the news is better. They stopped a three-game losing streak by beating the Detroit Tigers yesterday, 6-2, a good outing by Freddie Peralta. They are off today. They resume tomorrow against the Anaheim Angels. Wade Miley will be on the mound tomorrow night. A little reminder, listeners of Civic Media can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM throughout the Fox Valley. And you can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. All right, time for a weatherology update as we look at the forecast heading through the rest of the week and eventually taking us into the weekend. And Jennifer Wojcicki is here. Jennifer, nice to have you back. Good morning. How are things looking out there?
Thank you. Yeah, good to be back. And it looks like overall not too bad. A little bit of an interesting day today. We can expect at or slightly above average temperatures across the board today. Sunny skies in the southern parts of the state. Starting to see a little bit more cloud cover a little farther north, Richland Center over to Oshkosh. Then more centralized Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, then over to Amory and Baldwin. Looking at a chance for some rain showers starting to come in today. Remaining dry in the south tomorrow here for your Friday with temperatures really not moving much. Still above averages, average for Madison over to the lakefront, and then a chance for some areas of rain showers for everyone else tomorrow. A little bit on the cooler side in the west as that cold front begins to push through the state at that point. Then everyone else will start to see those temperatures starting to fall here on Saturday with chances for rain showers across the board on Saturday. We should see be right around about the upper 50s to lower 60s for average highs, and it does look like areas around Wausau may only get into the upper 40s, so 10 degrees below average for this time of the year to start off the weekend on Saturday. Even cooler for everyone on Sunday as that cold front continues to push through. Still with a chance for some rain for everyone on Sunday. However, Wausau and over to the western parts of the state might see some areas of rain and snow mixing in the morning with those overnight lows hovering close to freezing. Nothing too much or anything really accumulating from that, but then looking to become all rain by the afternoon hours.
All right. And then Jennifer's on notice that the fishing opener is now, 9 days away? So pretty soon we start pestering you for a really good fishing opener forecast, but we will definitely take this heading into another nice spring or weekend. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, Jennifer Fuchitsky from Weatherology with us every day at about this time. Joining us now is United States Senator Tammy Baldwin, and we have several topics to cover over the next, 30 minutes or so. So, Senator Baldwin, let's jump right into it. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Thank you again for being here with us on Up North News Radio. Well, we are going to spend a lot of let's start again. We have a few topics to cover here, but
yes,
we have to deal with the events as they come to us. We definitely want to talk about the CHIPS Act and turning Wisconsin into a regional technology hub. We're going to talk about, women's healthcare rights. We just talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where a bill is being signed in Minnesota today to expand and protect women's healthcare rights. We're going to talk about, veterans and your work to expand veteran service offices. But before we can get into the veterans services you want to expand, we've got to start with the veteran services that will be cut if the debt ceiling proposal put forward by House Republicans yesterday were to become law. I mean, it's not obviously, President Biden and Senate Democrats would never go to it, but what kind of a statement does that make, this slash and burn proposal that House Republicans put out yesterday?
Yeah, the proportions of it are staggering if you think about it. First of all, we cannot afford to default. We must not default. But we have said from the very beginning, we need to address that. And these other issues that we ought to be dealing with around the budget should be happening in the course of our conversations about the budget resolution and the annual appropriations process. So first of all, they don't even belong where they put it, but Speaker McCarthy seems to be so controlled by the extreme wing of his caucus that we saw what they did yesterday. If you look at their proposal, because they want to keep defense harmless from cuts, you're looking at nearly over 20% cut to every other agency in the federal government. And the devastation you would see with regard to services for our veterans who have served our country and us, it's just staggering. Just last year, we passed a bill called the PACT Act, which finally recognizes that veterans who, during their military service, were exposed to burn pits and other contaminants, if they develop illness, that it should be presumed to be service-connected. And that's being implemented right now. That would come to a screeching halt. And we have to keep our word to our veterans. They have, again, served us, served this nation. And the bill that the House of Representatives passed yesterday would devastate services to our veterans.
And yet, at the same time, here you are working on a proposal still in process, but would help out with veteran services at the local level. There are veteran services offices, all over the place. And what is it that you would like to do more for our veterans at a time when other politicians are looking to do less?
Yeah, our county veteran service officers, and there are tribal veteran service officers also, are often the first point of contact for veterans as they depart from their military service and return home, start their civilian life. And these individuals fight to make sure that our veterans are aware of the benefits they've earned through their time in the military, and match them up and advocate for them in significant ways. Often these county veteran service officers who are employed by the county are matching people up with federal benefits that the federal VA provides. But there's not any support that has ever been provided from the federal government for the incredible work these individuals do. The other thing we've seen over the course of the last couple of decades, and particularly under the previous governor in Wisconsin, was a proposal to have fewer, to not have one for each county, but to especially in the northern part of the state, to consolidate so that there'd be one veteran service officer who was serving veterans in multiple counties. That's the opposite direction that we should be going in. And I, when I saw that and heard from our hardworking county veteran service officers, there was, it's an idea that was born among that group, that there should be federal grant opportunities to keep this program robust on behalf of our veterans. And so that's what I've done. I've introduced bipartisan legislation, and I am trying to steer it through the process. It's already cleared committee, and now we're pushing to get it through the Senate.
And like so many things, it has to overcome that hurdle of getting
that filibuster
of getting, 60 votes for anything. And it isn't made easier the way that people are digging their heels in. But we'll continue to follow that and try to get that across the finish line. Yes. All right, let's turn to turning Wisconsin into a regional technology hub through the CHIPS Science Act. And so I think we'll have to go back a few steps, not quite to when the earth cooled, but almost there. what the CHIPS Act is. And, first, a lot of people think about it from the manufacturing standpoint, but then there's also more about the research and all the other facets. So and that's where Wisconsin comes in, but talk a bit about the CHIPS Act overall first, please.
Yeah. So I won't start with the cooling of the earth either, but I appreciate the chance to give some context to why we took up that measure and how the various provisions in it appeared. During the pandemic, I think it became very apparent that there were things that we used to make in America and make even in Wisconsin that we didn't anymore. And when there was a sudden global demand for certain things, we had trouble providing for, whether it was things as basic as personal protective equipment that our doctors and nurses needed as they treated patients, or testing supplies for COVID. But then all of a sudden we realized that there was a global shortage of microchips. There's reasons for that just to give it a little bit more focus, there was a belief that there would be a decline in interest in purchasing motor vehicles during the pandemic. So the chip manufacturers sort of switched and started making microchips for different industries, including the gaming industry. They thought that might have an uptick during the pandemic. But we ended up with a global shortage and the realization that something that was invented in the USA, microchips, were no longer really being manufactured here at all in any substantial number. And so auto lines were shut down because they were missing those microchips to complete the cars. And I visited farm equipment manufacturers in Wisconsin. Again, the control panels was the only thing they didn't have. And so equipment was sitting out in front of the factory. Couldn't be delivered yet to our farmers because the control panel and the microchips were gone. We're not there yet. We saw supply chain disruptions like we've never seen. And I think the resolve was we need to reshore our supply chains. We need to bring this manufacturing activity back to the USA and back to Wisconsin because we can't afford to be in that situation where we don't know how to make it anymore. Our security, our safety, and our health dependent upon a real re-examination of these policies. So that's kind of the overview of the CHIPS and Science Act.
All right, then let's move from the manufacturing to the research. We're going to do it right after this break that we're up against, and then we're going to take our next segment and talk about Wisconsin's role in the CHIPS Act and in this resurgence of high technology jobs for our state, and other topics with Senator Tammy Baldwin coming up here on Up North News Radio for a Thursday. We'll be back in just a little bit. Sure. Why not a little bit more Lizzo for the birthday girl? She turns 35 years old today. We're talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin, and where we left off was talking about the CHIPS Act, which would help bring more high-tech manufacturing back to the U.S. And, of course, with any advanced manufacturing, there needs to be research, there needs to be supply chain components, all kinds of things there. And that's why this CHIPS Act has something called regional technology hubs, where the senator is making sure that, you know, Wisconsin gets its share of this slice of the new economy. So that's where we left off, Senator. Let's talk about the regional technology hubs and what it is you're asking of the Biden administration.
Yeah, so I fought really hard to get those technology hubs as a part of the CHIPS and Science Act. And Wisconsin is so well positioned to gain one of these regional technology hubs. I think about, you know, we've already mentioned the manufacturing, you know, we make things in Wisconsin. We also have outstanding research institutions, but also a really great private sector. So this, as we put together a plan and an application to be one of the regional tech hubs, it's that synergy that I think positions us really well. Now, I've been urging the administration to come to Wisconsin to hear our initial plans to really allow us to make our pitch. And I'm very excited about the prospects of Wisconsin becoming named as one of the regional tech hubs in the nation as a result of this legislation.
How much of that is like brick and mortar related? Like there's going to be things that you know, are going to be relocated here, versus how much of it is just, I guess, virtual, if you'd say, like the University of Wisconsin might be part of it. There might be some companies in Wisconsin that are part of it. What form can a regional technology hub take?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when we're talking about innovation, much of it will happen from, you know, our current infrastructure. But if we have breakthroughs that are commercialized, we're definitely talking about moving from the research and development to production. You know, we're still the leaders who are stepping forward and putting this application together are still looking at refining what you know, what sector we want to make our proposal in. But it can be all of the above. In the early stages, I think we will see federal support for bringing things from ideas to solid plans. But the potential is so incredible.
I think, for example, people think of WRF, the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, and then even up in this part of the state, Chippewa Valley Technical College went big, quite a few years ago now, but it was so cutting edge at the time, on nanotechnology. They picked an area and said, this is where we want to specialize. We're going to plant our flag for education and research that could lead to manufacturing. So Wisconsin is most definitely familiar with turning, you know, academic research into, you know, tangible manufacturing and all the things in between.
There's no question about that. And I remember that, nanotechnology center at Chippewa Valley. But in addition, there was, again, a real example of pairing up with, you know, the technical college system, the University of Wisconsin system, as well as the private sector, all teaming up to look at the potential. And, you know, it was tremendously exciting. And we have the opportunity to do that again, but probably on a bigger scale.
And I think the point also needs to be made, you did mention the public sector, that this is very much a public-private role. This isn't, you know, a government operation with a government factory and all the other things that you know, some folks like to misinform about. There's more than ample space here for the private sector to advise and grow and flourish.
Absolutely. And, you know, everything from legacy established big businesses to scrappy entrepreneurs who are doing startups. I think we have all of those ingredients very much present in Wisconsin.
Do you have, because it's still relatively early in the process, but do you have any insight as to whether this is going to be a highly competitive thing where different states try to compete to be these regional technology hubs, or is it just something where Wisconsin knows well enough to get into this early?
Yeah, well, the resources are certainly limited, so it will be competitive. One of the things that I press the administration to do is, as we look at the whole country, to make sure that we have opportunities in each region of the country. And again, Wisconsin is so well poised for the upper Midwest. I am pushing very hard to make sure that we do get an opportunity. But again, we're at the early stages of this. I want to get the administration in here to hear our vision, but also to express theirs. And you know, make sure that we are as prepared as we can be to win this competitive opportunity.
And then finally, let's not forget the spillover impact of this for folks who might be thinking, well, this is great. This is great if you've studied computer science. You know, it's great for all the manufacturers and nerds. To get a designation like this would have such a spillover in terms of, again, suppliers, supply chain, manufacturing jobs, not just of the highest skilled, but in various skills. So this is something that anybody who's watching the Wisconsin state economy should probably get behind because of its a potential for wide impact.
Absolutely. And, you know, this didn't come out of thin air. Prior to our work on the CHIPS and Science Act, the Brookings Institution kind of looked at where in the country we had the sort of building blocks in place for technology hubs that could do amazing innovation. And Wisconsin was actually number one on their list. And seeing that, you know, several years back, really made me want to make sure that the opportunity for the seed money, et cetera, for these technology hubs would be included in this particular bill about reshoring our supply chain, but also about continuing our innovative spirit in a time of transformation.
And how is it having a partner in Governor Tony Evers in this? Just today, he was putting out a press release reminding folks of, you know, what he's proposing in his budget for computer science instruction in Wisconsin. I mean, you can have a high skilled factory, but if your education system isn't putting out graduates, you're just going to end up with out of state workers. And so, you've got a, as somebody who was in the legislature, knows the importance of a governor and a state budget working for you, you kind of have to feel like you've got somebody on your side.
Absolutely. And I mean, in that area, with increasing automation, with a lot of discussion these days about artificial intelligence, we do need a workforce that's well-versed in computer science and understanding the ways in which it will transform our economy, the workforce piece of this is a real exciting opportunity.
Let's turn our attention now to women's healthcare rights. And we mentioned earlier, speaking with Dr. Lyerly, who's in Minnesota, where a bill is being signed today. And it seems a common theme of our program has been kind of a state-by-state review of of goodness or badness, as it were. You have, you know, Michigan has been making some great strides, Minnesota as well. Then you have other states that are becoming increasingly hostile. The repeal of Roe v. Wade has truly turned our country into a checkerboard of women not knowing what rights they have when they cross various state lines. Mm-hmm. I know things are difficult with a divided Congress, but what are things like in Washington right now in terms of the very much long-range goal of restoring women's healthcare rights?
Yeah, I lead a bill called the Women's Health Protection Act. Focus of that is to restore Roe versus Wade by making it a part of our federal law. So to codify Roe versus Wade. And then it takes the additional step of telling the states that they cannot pass laws at the state level that interfere with those basic rights, pre-viability. It would put a stop to this patchwork quilt, as you're describing, where rights and freedoms vary dramatically from state to state to state. Your zip code should not determine what rights you have as a citizen of the United States. And so we have reintroduced the Women's Health Protection Act. It has gained support, but we have to continue to build support in the Congress in both houses. And yet, when you see day after day, states take additional actions. You know, Florida just passed, and Governor DeSantis in Florida just signed a 6-week abortion ban. Most women don't even know they're pregnant by week 6. Idaho just banned travel outside of the state to secure an abortion for some of its citizens. There are restrictions coming up everywhere.
And yet, despite the state-by-state checkerboard, these same Republicans in Washington who talked about wanting it to be a state, you know, by state issue, states' rights, are now also the ones getting behind the idea of a national abortion ban. Essentially, they've given up the game of what it is they really want to do.
Right. And then in the courts, not so thinly disguised opinion from a court judge in Texas attempted to prevent the medication mifepristone from being able to be used. This is a drug that was approved 23 years ago, and this judge, part and parcel of this larger effort to ban abortion care, tried to overturn the approval of this medication, again, that happened 23 years ago. That has been stayed for now by the U.S. Supreme Court, but that issue could be revisited as the case makes its way through the appeals process. So there is definitely a national agenda to ban abortion care, and to limit the rights of half of America.
And we have time for one more, and that, of course, would be 2024. President Joe Biden announced his effort for re-election this week. You have announced as well that you're going to be on that same ballot in 2024. So what's your reaction to President Biden ending any speculation and saying, let's get on with this?
I am delighted that he is in the race and running. I just have to say that if you look back on the accomplishments of just the first 2 years of his 4-year term, along with the Congress, these are some of the most profound accomplishments in more than a generation. The bipartisan infrastructure measure is a once in a generation investment in our nation's infrastructure, so overdue. The CHIPS and Science Act that we were talking about is reshoring our supply chains and making sure that we are on the cutting edge of manufacturing the things that we need to be safe and secure. And the Inflation Reduction Act we have been striving for the longest time to get Medicare negotiating lower prescription drug prices for our nation's seniors. Finally, that is beginning to happen. And folks with diabetes are seeing their insulin prices capped at $35 a month when they used to pay hundreds of dollars a month to maintain their health. So these are amazing accomplishments. I am so delighted that he wants to finish the job, as he said.
It's going to be a powerful ballot. Senator Tammy Baldwin, thanks again for your time. Very much look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you.
All right. We will wrap up our conversation for this Thursday. Coming up next, here up north.
Leave It to Beaver. Starring Barbara Billingsley, Hugh Beaumont, Tony Dow, and Jerry Mathers
Luke.
As the Beaver.
Luke Mathers, not Jerry Mathers. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I've had better mornings, but that's okay.
Is this very Bucks related?
It is. It was. It's very raw right now, and therefore low on sleep. It was a later game. I don't understand why two teams in the Eastern Conference have to still wait till 8:30 Central Time for a tip-off, but that's a different point. Mm-hmm. It's just not the way I'd hoped the season went. So it's a little tough morning, but glad to be with you here on Up North News Radio.
Yes, because you have to. You promised that you would, and... God forbid you do anything other than that. So we've got to talk about some shows. And I should mention that for folks, and thank you for the comments you might be seeing on Facebook right now. We've put them up on screen here for visiting with Senator Baldwin. If you missed some of it, if you want to listen back, every episode of our Civic Media shows goes up on civicmedia.us. Go to the shows page. And then if you go, say, to Up North News Radio, you'll see hour by hour. Each hour of our programming, you can click on it, listen through the website, or subscribe to it as a podcast. How'd I do?
Excellent.
Okay, good.
You've got that wrapped nice and clean. Very good.
Well, see, I was going to get you to talk about some of the other shows, but I thought, I should be really self-serving and talk about my show first. So having done that, let's hear about some of the other shows. We usually talk about Charlie Barron's and the Cripes Cast, and that's a weekend feature here. What's going on with old Mr. Barron's?
Yeah, Mr. Barron's he has done a lot of editions of the Cripes Cast recently with comedians, but another genre of his podcast, another type that you can see is him interviewing his family members, mm-hmm. which I do get a pretty good kick out of. And so this weekend, the Cripes Cast is a conversation with Charlie's Grandma Sue, his Aunt Mary, and Grandma's friend Lois. And so it's his 150th episode. And they took a road trip. It was the episode is recorded in the car up to a casino in central Wisconsin. So they have a very good conversation. They have a lot of fun. And it's a terrific edition of the Cripes Cast. So I highly recommend you tune in this Saturday or Sunday, whichever you prefer, at noon for the Cripes Cast, part of our Extra Sharp Cheddar Weekend. You can listen to the show Raised in the Wisco, which is an outdoors-based show, which airs 11 to noon, and then the Cripes Cast noon to 1, and then Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown, former Packer and Super Bowl champion, from 1 to 2. So that Extra Sharp Cheddar Weekend, you can listen across the entire Civic Media Network. Here in Madison, we do have a slightly different 11 a.m. program, a terrific program, Let's Get Local, a part of our Extra Sharp Cheddar Weekend, excuse me. And it's a lot of excellent local programming based here in Wisconsin for Wisconsin. And I think you'll really get a kick out of the conversation that Charlie has with his grandma, his aunt, and his grandma's friend.
I mean, I definitely have to say, from editing other episodes of him talking with his family, it is always a good time.
Yeah.
When you have that many siblings and that many family members, there's bound to be a lot of funny stories.
There is. You've got to tune in for this one. I realized this week I've been neglectful on something else we should be promoting more often. We talk about the Dayside shows all the time, but we have a fine evening lineup that needs to get some more emphasis. And so I say that out loud so that Aaron reminds me to throw it in the show notes every day, is to mention who's on at whatever it is, 6 or 7 on any given evening, like Mark Thompson's Paul Revere show, for example. Mm-hmm. And there are other examples, aren't there?
Yes. Yeah, Monday evenings is the Paul Revere show with Mark Thompson. Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. we have Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci. They do a terrific job talking about education from an educator's perspective. On Wednesday evenings, we got the Empowered Caregiver. On Thursday, we got the Raised in the Wisco show with Joel Clayfish. And Friday evenings, we've got Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Does a terrific job talking about a lot of different issues here in Wisconsin from an activist perspective. And so Pizza Box does a terrific job on Friday evenings. We also, upcoming this weekend, we got Max Inc. Live back in the saddle. They were off last weekend, but they do a terrific job promoting local music across the state of Wisconsin. So they're going to be in the studios this weekend. You can listen to Max Inc. Radio from 6 p.m. until midnight, both on Saturday for live and then Sunday as a replay.
Very nice. And along, I mean, just all of these local shows, these local voices, local music, and we're coming to more local areas. I know we've made the formal announcement of the acquisition. We're not yet ready to say we're flipping the switch on some new stations, but they're coming in pretty quick here.
Yeah, we're very excited. We've got a lot of changes coming in the month of May, so you're going to want to stay tuned to all of your local civic media radio stations throughout the month of May so you can catch all of those updates. It's a very busy time right now. We've got a ton of going on around the state of Wisconsin. We're really thrilled about it. And then we also can unwind a little bit. It won't be the Milwaukee Bucks, but you can check out some of your favorite sports teams here on Civic Media as well, with the Milwaukee Brewers. Going to be giving away some tickets to all of the home stands throughout the entire season. So you want to stay tuned to our flagship Civic Media Brewers station, which is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM in the Fox Valley, 98.3 in Oshkosh. And you could also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center, our friends out in Richland Center. So stay tuned. You can listen to terrific Civic Media programs to win tickets, and you can listen to all the Brewers games on those Civic Media radio stations.
And here's the nice thing. We still have those really nice tickets available. They weren't taken away from us because of Luke's conduct at American Family Field last Friday night, at least from what he can remember of it. I wish I would have taken a photo of him with the 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon under one arm. And our tailgating consisted of quickly drinking one of these PBRs so that we could get into the stadium. We needed to get into the stadium instead of having a real tailgate, because we ran a little late. We ran a little late because these geniuses who work in radio all agreed to meet at WAUK. We all looked up the WAUK address, and some of us headed to where the WAUK tower was located. We were not the perfect idea of a road trip and tailgate at a baseball game.
That's okay. We had the beer, though. We all enjoyed at least one cold one before walking in, and I think you guys all had a really good time. I know I did, and
we
did. It was a lot of fun.
We did. Yeah,
it
was awesome. A lot of fun. Yeah, it was a great time. And some of us, you know, still are able to, in the meantime, keep our room clean. I don't know what's going on behind you there. You using a chair as a hamper, or what?
Kelsey's got a new coat. That's all. That's
okay. I'm just saying, there's the same chairs behind me, and there's nothing on there. Although you'll notice this, I added a lava lamp.
Oh, look at that!
And a gumball machine. Yeah,
look at that.
We're growing. We're growing the home studio here. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Look forward to another game one of these times soon.
Absolutely, Mr. Kreitlow. Appreciate it.
All right. And you have a good rest of the week here. A reminder that Hometown Health with Kristen Lyerly, we had to push that till tomorrow. That will be on at 7 o'clock tomorrow. The Farm to School program is what we're going to be featuring. And we're going to start a new streak of shows without talking about Aaron Rodgers. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.